woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, hope it's Action Jacks. As I'm always just about whatever on the board. SP Futures down 31. Yeah, 31. NASDAQ Futures down 18 only. Dow Futures down 248. Individual stocks in the Dow down a bunch. We got Goldman Sachs down 4. Home Depot down 259. Honeywell down 192. Microsoft, however, is up 552 after being up like $16 last night after their earnings. But so they are still up. And we have Walgreens up $3. So we have some up, some down, but mostly down. So we're going to have a lot more earnings. I think Apple's tonight, so that'll be a big one. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. Doing fine.
Doing fine,
well,
eh?
Snow to clean up, but otherwise I'm doing fine.
Well, you know, that's where you got to get a guy. We got a guy.
You know, you got to keep some chores for yourself, Tom. Chores are good for the soul. And they're even better for the soul when all you have to do is walk behind the power drive snowblower.
Well, no, you're one of those. You're one of those kind of people. Over at Audrey's place, whenever I go out to shovel, the guy across the street runs out, "Hey, you want me to bring my snowblower and blow it for you?" And I'm like, "No, that's okay. I'll be a little exercise, you know." But if you got one... You know, they actually have a...
I don't exactly want you guys having a grabber shoveling too much snow, so I think the snowblower is a good idea.
Oh, I'm into it. I don't lift it. I only if it's like a half an inch where you can just shove it, I'll walk behind it and just kind of shove it, the light stuff, just to say I'm doing something. No way I'm like lifting the stuff and winging it off a three-car driveway. But
I actually do my next-door neighbors.
See?
If you remember, Tom, what my driveway looks like is we just have this, you know, big... You know, mine's like triple wide, but the neighbors is just totally connected. They butt right up against each other. So if you understand how you snow blow, you go from the middle out, right? And you just keep, you know, you start down the middle and you blow towards the sides, and that makes it easier. Well, I wouldn't be able to do that on my driveway, without just blowing everything onto my neighbor's driveway.
Well, that would be why not? Why not just do that?
Damn thing. Why not just, California anyway.
Why not just do that? Just blow it all on his driveway.
because it's easier to not do it. You know, I'd like to think I'm just being a nice guy, but in reality, it's just the easier way to do it. It only takes me like 20 minutes to do the whole thing.
Well, you know, there's a show that we used to listen to, Dr. J, of course. We used to live on the South Side together. You learn some interesting stuff. They actually have a show on, you know, like the Trick My Ride type of thing. Where you tell people, you know, what you got in your car, what you got. I got bored out, you know, 327. Okay. Matty, what's a bored out 327?
Something to do with the engine.
You bore out your cubic inches. What is your, how do you figure out how big your cubic inches are? I always like doing this to Matty.
Maybe a ruler?
No. It's bore times a stroke.
I just ask her.
It's bore times a stroke times the number of cylinders.
Of course.
So it's the size of the cylinders, it's not the size of the iron. So it's the cubic inches inside the cylinder.
You asked how you would measure it.
Yeah.
I still think you need to use a ruler.
I don't think you can use a ruler on a cylinder when it's...
Well, it'd be a circular ruler.
Yeah. Anyway, so they have a Trick My Ride for snow blowers in Minnesota.
Oh, you know, like for the sit-down rides?
No, they run on Friday night, and the guys will call in and tell people about their snow ride. It's a call-in radio show.
Yeah, my mine's not that interesting.
What you got? Well, mine's like two horse. There was like a two horse motor in there, and I put a three horse in there. Man, this thing will blow the stuff across the street. It's unbelievable, these guys.
Do you have a light? Do you have a speaker?
Oh, got you. The whole bit. But one of the greatest lines ever, you know, John and his lovely bride, Bridge, are from Minnesota. So one day we go skiing, right? And we're in Lake Tahoe, and of course all the snow comes down. And we're shoveling the driveway just so we could get the car out to go skiing. So I'm winging the stuff up there, typical, you know, Chicago guy. And she goes, "Chief, you can't Gus." "What do you mean Gus?" She goes, "You're giving up space." I go, "What does that mean?" She says, "In Chicago, you can get away with that. Minnesota, you can't. If you don't, every time you shovel the snow, if you don't go exactly to the end of the sidewalk, or maybe a little further, the next snow, if you give up space like an inch every time, by like mid-January, your driveway is like an inch wide."
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it's like if you've ever been up to the UP in the winter, it's the same thing.
Don't Gus. You know, Bridge, what does it mean, don't Gus?
You pile it up. In fact, there was a winter a few years ago where we had a lot of snow, and just blowing it to the side, and I got plenty of I can give up space. I've got plenty of room, and the snow actually piled up to the top of the garage roof.
Good Lord!
And this was because we usually get, you know, on this side of the lake we get a lot more than you do, and so over the course of the winter it piled up to the top of the garage roof. And the story that goes with that is my son lives in Phoenix, and he so there was this like last day, it was a day in April, where there was a little, you know, almost the size of my hand pile of snow just sitting there, you know, just the last piece that hadn't melted yet. And it was a sunny morning. And so I stopped on the way into the garage and snapped a picture of it and put it on Facebook, said, "There's the last of it." And right, you know, like 10 minutes later, my son comes back with still more than I ever want to see again.
Oh, God. Well, so what do you think of, we got all kinds of things to talk about this morning here. First of all, here, I see this morning here, and I don't, this is yet another thing that's kind of a warning sign for something. I don't know what. I mean, you can never, these are all little like signs along the road, but, the weekly mortgage demand falls, but size of average home buyer loan hits record.
Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose home prices are up?
I think it's more than just the prices. I think when people get a new loan, they're tossing their credit card debt onto the mortgage.
Oh, could be.
The average purchase loan amount hit another record high, $395,000. Well, if you're now they claim that that's a purchase loan amount. I don't know how they split that out from the refis. But when your average home price is up to what, three something something, I'll get that on my, your median price, it seems like that's high. I think when people are starting to put other loans onto their mortgage again, which, you know, not so hot. And what do you think of Elon Musk's new job? He tweets out now stocks he likes, and the stocks race up. Now, I don't know how the hell that works, but, you know, I can't do that. We're telling people to go buy. Well, he actually doesn't tell people. He says he loves it. Now, this GameStop, for those of you that don't know what's going down here, and I don't really pretend to understand all of it, there's an outfit called Reddit, right? And evidently, Matty, what is it, just a group on the Internet?
Yeah, it's essentially like a large message board for all kinds of different categories.
And, well, there's people on there that have somehow now identified stocks that are maybe thinly traded, heavily shorted, whatever it is. And it goes on with what I've been saying, and Frank was with me about the fabric of the market is not the same for some of these stocks that, you know, we're not talking IBM here. I mean, we're just depth and liquidity to the market in some of these things. Well, this GameStop, it's heavily shorted. And then, of course, the headline this morning was that short sellers, they think, have lost $91 billion in January. Well, of course, you don't know if people had call options against them or whatever, so it's always a sloppy number. But maybe not. I mean, maybe I always would if it was me, but then again, a lot of these guys aren't me. So this GameStop, now this morning, it's up $119. So it's trading $266. And I'm going to put a chart up here, and I'm going to say that like 2 days ago. But now, imagine for you, it's interesting to basically jam it to the shorts where the sun don't shine, right? Well, the stack was $25 and $111. It was $43 and $111. $35, sorry. I'm using this candlestick. Sorry. Now the stack is $256. Okay? They don't make any money, I don't think. And their revenue is, you know, not very much per share at this price. And now, it's one thing to jam the shorts where the sun don't shine, because then they have to cover, right? Because they get margin calls and all that kind of stuff. It's quite another to take great glee in paying $250 for something that, you know, I don't know whatever worth means, for something that's worth $30 just to show it to somebody else, because someday, somewhere, the Lone Ranger is not going to come over the hill and nobody's going to buy it from you at $261. But out of all the reasons to buy stacks, to stick it to a short seller because you're in an online group, I don't even know where I'd put that one, Manny. I'd have to put it like way at the bottom of the list. I can't even imagine buying a stock here.
Well, what I've read about it is it's really sort of, and there's been a revolution in this regard across the whole country over the last 4 or 5 years, but it's a group of, quote unquote, regular people that are trying to stick it to the suits and stick it to Wall Street and stick it to the big firms. And, so they're pulling their numbers and, identifying these stocks, as you put it, and, trying to screw these people and make some money along the way. Now, obviously they can get burned by this too, of course, but, they haven't yet.
What are the guys saying?
Wrong with a little revolt every now and then, right?
What are the guys saying in Hunt for Red October? You arrogant ass, you've killed us. the thought of me paying $262 for this stack to stick it to somebody that I don't even know or never met because of some, I can't even imagine doing that. Now, if I thought the stock was worth that, then that's different. But last night I was looking at somebody's call options. They were, well, here, this was, the 70 calls last night, and the stock was trading, I'm going to say, 150 last night. 70 call options for this Friday were $26 with a 600 volatility. I mean, we're talking about, we're in tulip land here. It's a, not saying sell it because you can't borrow it. But that's what happened when you have stuff that's hard to borrow. You have, so you can't protect yourself by buying anything because whoever is on the other side, the specialist or whoever, can't borrow the stuff. So it makes it very, very difficult because it really doesn't matter what the stock's worth. It's how much people get jammed around doing, with margin stuff. That's why it's so dangerous to short something. I mean, if you buy something, I mean, obviously these stocks are high enough where it's a real lot of money, but if you buy a stock at $10, you can lose $10. If you short it at $10, the thing could go to $300, right? So it's a very interesting game, but someday, somewhere, somebody's going to buy this thing at $247. He's going to sell it at 47. He's going to be taking $3,000 a month off for the rest of his life. And speaking of which, did you hear what
isn't that what everybody wants? It's just a tax deduction for life.
Yeah, tax deduction for life. So remember me ranting yesterday? Leave it to the. you can absolutely look at the Republicans and, you know, just what they're going to do money wise because they have the same trick bag that they've had since, you know, I was in college, for God's sake. Now, the Democrats are the same way. So remember me railing yesterday regarding the step-up basis, how that's the single biggest tax deduction for people that have money, is if you have an asset. By the way, it's not just stock. It's property, too. If you have a stock, if you bought IBM at $10, remember how you had to do that, 1920, and you keep it your whole life, and you croak and you give it to son Matty, and the stock's trading today at 120, Matt's basis is 120. So the difference between 10 and 120, $110, never gets taxed. So if Matt sells it tomorrow at 122, he pays tax on $2. All right, so the entire stuff in the middle, nobody gets. That's called the step-up basis, all right? Now, I don't think that's appropriate because most people have to pay taxes on everything. And I'd rather have the rates be down for everybody than a few people getting advantage. That's just me. Because I always get the feeling that when somebody else gets an advantage, I pay more. And Matt pays more, and Kevin pays more, and probably more listeners pay more. And I just don't like that happening. Well, now, Joe Biden comes out yesterday. Now, of all the things you don't want to have happen, you absolutely don't want to have happen, He claims now that he wants the difference between $120 and the $10 you paid for. He wants the tax to come due the day you die, whether you sell it or not. I honestly can't think of anything more ignorant. Because now you're gonna force everybody to sell every asset when people die. What is the point of that?
You're gonna have to liquidate the estate and people, or you're gonna have to have people just liquidate before they die if they can't. You know, if you can plan properly, if you know when you're gonna die, but you're gonna have people trying to wind it down so that there is no such thing as an inheritance.
But what do you do with a farm? You gotta sell it so the corporations get bigger? You really do want
to. You can sell your farm to a corporation and just have an agreement to live there the rest of your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, you never really know. I mean, that's why, I mean, people, you know, that listen, and I know everybody wonders sometimes where the hell I'm coming from. Every single time some stupid idea comes up, you know, Trump with we're not gonna export soybeans to China. All right, well, that's fine, because the people who export soybeans to China are all the people in Minnesota and Dakota and those places those are the people that export their soybeans by rail to the West Coast, and it goes on container ships and goes to China from there. Not very much soybeans goes from Illinois to China. I mean, some, because you basically got to put it in the Illinois River, you go down to New Orleans and blah, blah, blah. Pretty difficult to get from Illinois up to Portland, but it's real easy to get from North Dakota to Portland. So what you do is you screw a group of farmers, and probably some percentage of them, what would you guess, Kevin, 30-40% of them lost their farms in those 2 years. Now, somebody's still going to farm that property, but it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be some big outfit that bought the places from them. So every single time some politician does something really ignorant, which is what I would say this would be from Biden, there's going to be somebody who picks it up, and it's always a different somebody. It's like Penny Pritzker 2 weeks ago when I was cringing her on TV. She goes, well, we know we're going to lose like 20% of the businesses, but that's okay. Like, we'll come back. I'll still be able to get my sandwich. So what if it's a different owner? Basically, I mean, she didn't say it that way, but you know exactly what she meant. I don't care if Nick and Dino from Nick and Dino's AAA are gone. There's still going to be a bar there, and I can still get a beer. I mean, to me, that's so heartless. I don't even – we don't care about all those people. Now Biden has to know. He can't be that dumb to know that if some family, for whatever reason, a guy worked at Exxon, because I have clients like this, they'll come in and they've got, you know, dad's Exxon, and they got like 30,000 shares, some huge number of stuff. I go, where the hell did you get this? My dad worked for Exxon his whole life, and that's all he did was buy Exxon stock. Okay. But now you're gonna be forcing that family to sell that stock when it's 80% of their net lick. Net lick is a floor term for equity. Net liquidating price, or whatever the hell it is. You're going to force them to sell it and pay taxes on it right then and there that day? I mean, Kevin, I can't think of anything more ignorant.
Yeah, well, and, you know, if Biden doesn't know, he probably used to know.
There's a shot. But, I mean, who do you... Now, or is some of this just politics? Where you lob this stuff out there and knowing that you're not going to get it through, but you can trade it off for something else. I mean, there's a lot of that goes on that's not in my mental wheelhouse. I mean,
I see less of that now, though, than ever before.
I'll bet the $15 minimum wages.
People take a hard line, and compromise is a rare event in national politics now.
They compromise some on this latest bill, the mini bailout bill. What did McConnell wanted? He wanted something, and the part about the states, and the other side wanted something. They both bailed out the last day and got it passed. I mean, it took forever. They eventually both backed off of something. I mean, it's damn near dead, Kevin. I'm with you, but it's not totally dead. I bet that there's no way the $15 minimum wage goes through. It'll go through at 11 or something, or 12, because 15 is insane.
Yeah, you know, I really don't understand why it doesn't even get any traction to discuss a different minimum wage by age group. You know, that under 18 can have a lower minimum wage than the working adults. You know, if the big concern, even though, and I've shared with you guys the statistics on how many people earn minimum wage, and it's a trivial number, and as you get older, it becomes an even more, you know, even smaller number. Most of the people that are earning minimum wage are in high school, but you don't want to kill that first job that people get. You don't want to create better alternatives, you know, via automation and other kinds of staffing models, because that first job that people get in high school is tremendously valuable. And the idea that we, you know, it just seems only logical to me that, you know, what you have for a young person trying to earn some spending money and learn some responsibility and so on, that wage could be completely different from, what somebody 25 years old who's trying to actually, you know, live on what he earns.
Well, Kevin, these idiots and the people who do the press will never tell you the whole story, but aren't there always exceptions to that? Or if you're working a family-owned business, if you're doing this, waitresses are usually exempted because they have tips, and you got to add, you know, you're not going to pay a waitress.
Well, what I remember from, and this goes back to the 1970s, but what I remember from my days of waiting tables is you had to report, you know, there was a weekly filing, and you had to report earnings up to minimum, at least a minimum wage. So, you know, because there was withholding. Now you may earn tips, you know, let's just say it's $7.25 an hour like it is today. You may earn tips that would round your, you know, take your hourly up to $15. But if you were only making, you know, $4 an hour from the restaurant and the rest was all tips, you can't report your income as $4 an hour. You better report it as minimum wage or something higher than that. For withholding purposes.
Is there ever, I'm asking this question because I should know the answer since I talk about it all the time. Has there ever been a time where the minimum wage was appreciably higher than the economic number, the supply and demand number? I mean, I can't recall. So to me, for the last, I mean, every time you hear this number, you always hear, well, the state of Illinois is going to raise their minimum wage to $10. Now it's 7.25, and it's been that way since, like, you know, 1982 or something. Has there ever been a time that you recall, I do not recall, sounds like we're in front of Congress, where the economic wage was $10 and somebody slammed through a minimum wage at like 17? I mean, everybody knows that would be a fiasco. I don't believe it's ever happened that I've noticed that the minimum wage is actually higher than the going wage. But I think it raises people up in Illinois because they're pretty close though, Kevin. I think I know the ladies at the Dunkin' Donuts when they used to open up early enough and we'd go get coffee there. They were all making minimum wage when it was like $9.50. You know?
Illinois minimum wage is $8.25.
Right now, those ladies got, remember, they got the raise though, Mandy. Were they making like $7.50 and then went to 8.25?
Chicago minimum wage is $13.50.
Okay, so this was when they went from 10 to 11. This is a couple years ago, right? Remember, because they said that the guy cut them back an hour and they raised the price of the coffee?
Yeah, that's right.
But I think Chicago is right on the cusp, and they could actually be higher than the economic wage. But, I mean, it's not, I think they're close, but, Kevin, it's not like they could say tomorrow the minimum wage is like 19. I think, people find a way to not pay it. It's just not there. I mean, I'm right. I mean, I don't think it could be appreciably higher than the going wage. Right now, I think they're pushing it, and I think it's a problem, like you say.
Well, yeah, we'll see how it shakes out. I don't know if it's going to pass or not in Congress, but they'll make a run at it.
Well, the most interesting one that I ever heard was wasn't it Seattle? It said for people that work in the airport, you know, like the restaurants and bars and so forth there, weren't they going to make it like 19 or something?
I remember reading something like that. Yeah, and Seattle's minimum wage, by the way, is 12, so it's actually $1.50 less than Chicago's.
Because I think the story there was, we know that if we give the politically connected the 3 or 4 available bars at the airport, they're going to be making a friggin' fortune. So at least for those guys, you got to pay everybody 19 when you're making like $1 million a year. It was totally singling out the politically connected and saying you got to at least pay a decent wage. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, I tend to agree with both of you on this. I think Kevin's idea of a tiered approach based on age makes a lot of sense, and I would 100% back that. And I think you're right too that typically, you know, the national minimum wage of $7.25, it doesn't come into play in most areas.
Right.
Just based on the economic supply and demand, because here, no one's going to take a job for $7.25. Well, in Chicago, you can't because the minimum wage is higher, but just in general, because you can't live off of that. And so then the employer's not going to get any candidates for their opening, so they have to raise it. So it never really comes into play. And right now, I would say 15 in Chicago could probably work because it's 13.50 anyway, and it could certainly work in New York and maybe some other big cities, but 15 in some small town probably doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, 13.50 is
what you see, and you know, just to give examples, you may recall that there was a rash of companies increasing their minimum wages, you know, their voluntary minimum wage. A couple of years ago, Walmart was one of them. I think they went to 11 or something like that, and said nobody at a Walmart store is going to make less than $11 an hour. Well, you know, $11 an hour at the Elkhart store probably works, especially because it's there's a lot of students, a lot of second wage earners there. Spouse is the primary income in the house, and I need a job that where I can be home when the kids get home from school. And that works because that's when the high school kids get off of work and can go in and replace the adult workers. And so that kind of a formula works. Now, you know, would it be worth it in Chicago, factoring in, you know, transportation costs and everything else that you need for a second income? Probably not. So, you know, Walmart can have its minimum 11, but they may need to pay 15 in Chicago.
Real quick, because we got to go to break, my calculation I should never do because it does aggravate me. If you buy a car in Chicago and you buy a junker, say $5,000, and you got the money cash, which you wouldn't necessarily, if you buy that car, just the cost, the taxes, the title, the city sticker, and all that goes with it, just to transfer the car over to you and make yourself legal, is the first 66 hours of work.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is one of the real beauties of the opportunity zone approach, because what they do is the investment goes into the neighborhood where people need the jobs. And so the transportation issue is mitigated by it. It's not just a matter of creating jobs where they didn't exist before, but they're creating access to jobs where it didn't exist before.
Yeah, and then raise the price of the CTA and your title. You know, just S&P futures now down 37. We're leaking here. And the NASDAQ futures down 71. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us and Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Just one of these, I was shaking here. I saw this headline about Fed clarity. Is that the same as Fed transparency where there isn't any? anyway, S&P futures up, I'm sorry, down 39. As if you're done, it's kind of ugly this morning here. All I'm seeing is red up here except for Microsoft and Walgreens and a couple other places. Boeing had earnings as well. Dow's down 287. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 252, that's 1.8%. FTSE down 69, that's 1%. CAC down 70, that's 1.3%. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei, was actually up 89.3%. Shanghai up 3.1%. Hang Seng down 93.3%. Hang Seng was down yesterday. IMF, first they did came out and they raised the economic growth forecast globally. That's been kind of shouted down by other places here. Bonds, unchanged, well, down a basis point at 1.02. The Bund, minus 0.54. Japan, positive 0.04. They don't move at all. Oil, up 4 cents, 52.65. Brent, up 12 cents, 56.03. Natural gas, up 5 cents, 271. RBOB, unchanged at 157. Gold, we got gold down 12 bucks, 18.38. Silver, down 33 cents, 25.20. Copper, down 3 cents, 258. We've got the Fed coming out today, not exactly sure what they're going to say, but we'll hear. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a great start this morning, certainly compared to yesterday, as far as the expressways, roadways, and tollways are concerned. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower looking good. Same for the Stevenson. Southside expressways are all quiet. Only two issues to speak of, and they're both off the expressways. It looks like in Oak Park, Oak Park Avenue between Jackson and Madison is closed due to a crash. And then west of there, it looks like North Avenue at Rowing Road. I always have a problem saying
Rolling.
That. Rolling Road. I think they say Rowing, but anyway, there's a crash there on North Avenue that's causing a bit of a slowdown. But everything else is all quiet out there. Weather today. Clouds all day today, cold temperatures, a high of 28. We could see about a 50% chance of some more snow at 11 a.m. this morning. That's just going to last for an hour or two, not expecting much more for accumulation. But we'll stay in the upper 20s throughout the day and then get even colder tonight, possibly down into the single digits. Right now it's overcast in 28, and that's where we'll stay for our high today. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 61. Right now it's clear and 36. In sports, the Blackhawks earned a point last night, but fell in overtime to the Nashville Predators 3-2. Coyotes lost to the Ducks 1-0. No college hoops of note last night as far as our local teams are concerned. Same for no NBA. The Bulls were supposed to play tonight against Memphis, but that game has been postponed as there's a COVID outbreak on the Memphis roster. And the Bulls also learned that they'll be out without their starting power forward slash center Wendell Carter Jr. for at least the next month as he deals with a thigh issue. Chief.
The Fed meeting is today. There's an article here on CNBC by Jeff Cox. We've used some stuff on the air before that he's written. He's a contributor and he writes for them. I always found him pretty sage. Those are the bullet points. The Federal Reserve concludes its two-day policy meeting Wednesday. That would be today. One big issue for the markets is the prospects of tapering. Remember that? Reducing asset purchases. Why they're buying assets now, I have no idea. Investors will look to Chairman Jerome Powell for clarity. Clarity. Most market participants expect little change from the Fed position despite inflation pressures popping up, which is so dangerous I can't even go there. He has a few nerves to quell among market participants. When the central bank, when will start tapping on the brakes? The big buzzword around the Fed is now tapering. It's a reference to pulling back on the monthly bond purchases that have helped keep the financial system flush with cash and have encouraged investors to continue to take on risk despite stock market valuations that are the highest since at least the dot-com bubble of the early 21st century. Markets figure that as long as the Fed keeps pumping, it's safe to keep buying. Is this as scary for everybody else as it is for me? They still have claimed that they've missed this 2% level for a decade, the inflation level, and I could dispute that in a minute and a half with a simple hand calculator that these guys are all screwed up on this 2% thing. And I don't want to do it again here, Kevin, but how long are we going to keep this facade going? Is today the day that they say something different?
Oh, absolutely not. And don't be such a sissy about this, Tom. Buy.
Just buy. Buy GameStop.
Buy your GameStop and shut up.
Well, it was up $70 last night.
And by the way, while you're at it, put on a second mask at the
same
time.
Put on a second mask.
That's going to make a difference, too.
Yeah. So last night, I got all my clients are calling up, how come we're not in GameStop, right? Well, the thing stops trading and it opens up $70. So it's trading for like 140 or something, or one, you know, somewhere in there. So I said, look, this volatility is so high. Why don't we do something like, you know, let's put on a butterfly, because at least you put the butterfly on its margin, just because butterflies have a special margin. If you do, all right, I'll do this for a second. If you buy one of the 110 calls, sell two of the 140 calls and buy one of the 170 calls, that's called a butterfly. You got wings and you got the ones in the middle. And you do that for a certain price. It's margin just for the price, because normally you would have to margin the short spread fully. You have to pay for the long spread. But since all you can lose is what you pay on the thing, the Fed gives you a break and it gets margined as just what you paid for it. So if ever you want to have a position where you think you know the strike it's going to go out, which is obviously very tough to do, you can do a butterfly and you essentially have premium coming your way without being short any contracts. So it's a safe way to be short premium, safe except you're paying $5 for the thing. It's a safe way to, it's not like selling a call and a put where it can go anywhere and you have unlimited risk. So I said, look, none of you guys are going to be selling any calls and puts in here. I'm not going to let that happen. But if you want, we'll test out a butterfly. This is like 1 minute to three. I said $5 for the 110, 170 normally would be a steal, right? I mean, we're talking about Friday. So if the thing lands at 140, the thing's going to be $30. So $5, but then it's a big if. So now this morning it stocks up another 104. We're $80 from this 170 strike that was the top end of our butterfly. So let's just say that butterfly would have been the gleam in the designer's eye. Of course, who knows? It could be, you know, $50 by Friday, but that just goes to show you, you know, this stuff is moving. And Elon Musk came out and said he likes the company, so the stock, just like the one yesterday, he came out and liked Etsy, and Etsy was up 10%. This is crazy. This stock is no more worth than $254 than my truck is worth like $50,000. I mean, am I right, Matty? What? This is crazy. So, Kevin, hey, how about, let's get away from the Fed here for a second. One of the big debates in Congress is going to be this Section 230, which is the big crux about all these Facebooks and all these other people. Where do you guys, who know a lot more than this, Could you guys explain? I'll give you the explanation. Section 230 was created so that social media apps and other content providers on the internet could essentially provide content moderation while not being sued for any of the content that was created within their app or on their website that essentially other people put on. I think that that's going to end up being modified somewhat. I don't know what, and I got to believe this is going to be a huge debate in Congress because it's essentially this guy's right. It's bridging the gap between content moderation and the First Amendment. Who's responsible and who gets to do that stuff? Where do you guys think this comes out? I mean, where would you even start here?
Oh man, that's a big, long, loaded question. You're just going to sort of get stream of consciousness or scream of consciousness. It could be either one. The whole idea here is, and let's take Twitter as an example, is that Twitter is not really responsible for what gets published on its site. The point of that being that it's there to exist, to provide content, to provide access for people and a free flow of ideas, and none of it is editorial by Twitter. And that's how I understand this. So you can't hold Twitter responsible for it. Now Twitter, on the other hand, is turning around and editorializing by what it does and doesn't allow. And there's always the ability to have community standards. I don't think anybody would argue with that you can't let you don't want people to plan illegal activities, etc., on there, but when they start censoring points of view, then they are beginning to act more like a typical news publisher or editorial publisher. And I think that's really the crux of it as I understand it. And maybe I'm way off on this, but that's how I understand it to be. And clearly, they have moved into that realm. I don't think there's any way to argue that they haven't. So now the question is, are we going to catch up the law to what they're doing?
Well, I think that they're being forced to. If you listen to when Jack, with his beard where he looks like a schnauzer, goes in front of a Congress, I mean, on one side of the aisle, you got people bitching that he's doing too much editorializing, and the other side, he's not doing enough. I mean, what is...
Well, except that those roles were reversed in 2016.
Right, but I want to start from the beginning, and Maddie knows more about this than me because he worked for actually a real radio station. You can't. We have a dump button over there, right, for Maddie. So if somebody were to call in and start winging the N word around or something, or the F word or something, it's our job to stop it. In other words, Maddie can hit the button and it won't go out. If somebody writes into a letter to the editor of the Tribune or the Sun Times, such as it still is, and it calls for burning down things in black neighborhoods, they're not going to publish that. I mean, they or whatever it is, and they're, because if they did, they're publishing it. You couldn't pin it on, Jim Smith who wrote it in, because you're the one. Now, if Jim Smith went down and put it up in, if we had a local, a town square, I guess he could run down there and it was a bulletin board. He could shove it up on the town square with his name on it. I guess he could do that. I don't know why he'd want to, but I mean, somewhere along the line, the newspapers and the radios and stuff, those people have somewhat of a different, it's been clear that if Stocks and Jacks puts somebody out there and starts winging the F-bombs or the N-word around, we're at fault. Okay, or if the Tribune, if somebody puts in there, go burn down, 15 houses in whatever neighborhood, they're at fault. So how the hell did we get to Twitter and Facebook? People can say whatever they damn well please. Twitter sends it out to 90 bazillion people, and they don't have any responsibility whatsoever. I'm not saying I disagree or agree with it, Kevin. I'm just saying it's a lot different. And how did it get so different? Just because it's the Internet?
Well, as a practical matter, though, there is a limit to the amount of content that the Chicago Tribune, even online on their website, there's a very defined limit to what they publish and how much and the quantity. Whereas if you take a Twitter and a Facebook, I get it. I don't know how you police all of that. You know, they're, you know, how much goes up there in a minute? How many hundreds of thousands of tweets go up in a minute?
Well, but I guess I'm saying
an example. So how will you control that? There's a lot you can do automated, and they've tried to flag, you know, keywords and things, and people are always playing around with, you know, how do I work around that? But in the end, how can you hold them responsible under that format? And I think that's the debate.
But you could never, the Tribune could never get away with, we publish all letters to the editor and lob one out there telling you to burn somebody's house down and them not be at fault. I mean, they clearly have to have some regard for what's going out there. Now, I guess I'm not debating whether you should or shouldn't, Kevin. I just wonder how the hell the internet got this section 230 through in the first place, I guess is my question. And say, well, it's not me. It's somebody. What do you mean it's not you? I mean, it's Twitter. It's coming through your system. How do you have no responsibility? Why is that different than if somebody comes on the air here and starts lobbing the N-word or the F-bomb and that you're saying, hey, it wasn't us. It was Joe from Mundelein called in. We'd never do it.
You know what? I think it's in part an example of the inability, that the availability of technology has outstripped our ability to control it. And we might be able to catch up to that, you know, at some point, but we aren't there now. And that's a big problem. Because, you know, how do you control the sheer volume that's, you know, that's on Twitter, that's on Facebook?
Well, I mean, I guess I don't know, but how do you know? I mean, I have no idea. The Tribune could possibly get, what if they got 100,000 letters to the editor a day? They control the volume.
But 100,000 letters is a minute on Twitter.
What I'm saying is, you're still not going to have them all in your newspaper. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, it would never be an excuse.
Well, okay, so what you're saying is, on the Tribune, they can take every letter and review it and decide what, and make an editorial choice about what goes up there or not. I hate to be defending these people. It's their problem now.
No, but we're supposed to be debating.
But when you look at, you know, Twitter, how are you going to review it?
Well, I guess
who's going to review it?
Well, what I'm getting to here, and I think you are. By the way, this is the debate what you and I are having. I'm not even saying that I'm on the side I'm on here. I'm just saying I'm telling this side because you're telling the other side, and that's what we're trying to do here. We're not arguing with each other. I don't believe, but I'm saying what you're
I'm always arguing.
Well, but what you're but you're alluding to is at some point volume becomes a defense. And I'm not. I don't think it would ever be an offense an excuse for us to say we had 50 call-ins that day and one slipped through. So what?
I hear what you're saying, and I think it's valid. It's also the nature of the forum.
Because
we do have the ability to screen. We do have a dump bucket, but you know everything. Everything that goes up on Twitter is, you know, is policed after the fact, after it's already there.
Well, I guess my point.
No, I suppose you can filter it, and you can have people sitting there saying, "Okay, I got to read this before I approve it for posting." Certainly, people with closed message boards do that all the time.
Well, yeah, I guess my point is, if you plunked, because I know you for a long time, my friend, if somebody walked in to a rules committee that you were at and said, oh, by the way, here's the rules that apply to radio. We don't want this on the air. And by the way, this is the rules that apply to the newspaper. You're not going to go out and say, take this guy out or tear his house down. And somebody walks in and says, you know what? My thing is so big, and I'm going to make so much money, I can't be bothered with anything like that because I'm going to have so many messages there, I can't read them, I can't do this, I can't do any kind of filtering whatsoever, and that's just the way it is. I'm going to say that Kevin O'Neill sitting on that board says, maybe you shouldn't be that big for a while. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think that's legit. And especially, you know, if you look at the history of Facebook, It just kind of got there.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook, when Zuckerberg, the first round of Facebook was for a college. It was a replacement for, you remember the dog book in college?
What was the, no, what was the big Facebook, the thing before Facebook? I don't remember the name. Where's Manny? He walked into the kitchen, huh?
I'm back. What is it?
What was the one before Facebook that everybody was in?
MySpace?
Yeah, MySpace. So they were a replacement for MySpace, right?
Yeah, MySpace was less the individual. I guess it was conversations too. But at any rate, Facebook, you know, it started out as let's go online with that what was called at Harvard the Facebook, which is where you would everybody could. It was a paper directory of the students, and they put it online, and then they started adding conversations, and then they went public with it, and it just kind of happened, and the technology, you know, it grew faster than the ability to control it, and it's more than just individual content at this point. There's been a lot of abuse along the way. There's been some ethical challenges about sharing data, and Facebook has been busted on that over and over again. So some of it is, you know, of the management team's own making, and some of it is just that it blew up, and how do you put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. But the other ones certainly that came along saw Facebook and said, okay, I can do this too. You know, I can get big too. So they definitely knew what they were diving into.
I just, I can only imagine, because I'd have to send him, you know, actually I wouldn't, but I would. I could think of it doing it. I could see Mr. Weber in front of the Congress and going, hey, look, we got so big, we're making so much dough, we get 50 calls a day, and you know what? I just had to go to the can and saw the guy drop the N-word 100 times, so what? I can't imagine him saying that. And yet these guys, that's their excuse. We're so big and we're so profitable, we can't deal with it. Right?
And so if you make your posting algorithms filter for that word, and so what you're doing is you're filtering out some direct quotes from someone like Malcolm X, you know, that somebody may be citing in a post. All of a sudden, you know, you're getting things you don't want to get. I get the difficulty of it. I don't know how you control it at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't. I mean, that doesn't mean. Well, then let us off the hook. Not that we ever want to put the N-word or the F-word on the air, but, I mean, we don't keep jumping on everybody else, right?
Yeah, you just have it. It's just, you know, in radio we have a more controlled forum.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna let Elon Musk manipulate the market, then stop looking at me. He has a much bigger forum than I do, and I think these guys listen to me once in a while just to see what I'm saying because I'm registered. Well, stop doing it. Watch him.
Well, if you're looking for equity or some level of fairness across there, yeah, that would be the right thing to do. The other part of that is that now when you turn around and these tech companies start selectively or in an uneven way start editing what gets posted on their sites or not, then they are taking an editorial stance. They are being a part.
Yeah, I would agree. And
so, if, you know, when you start picking up on a point of view that, you know, is arguably legitimate.
Well, I mean, but you're going to see, actually, I want to get to a much more fun topic here for a few minutes we got left. But what's going to happen, you're going to bend, what did the guy say? I bend with the wind, and right now the political wind's coming from Vichy in Casablanca. I mean, during the Democratic administration, you're going to see these people filtering out all stuff conservative. And then when the Republicans win again, which they will someday, you're going to see it go just the opposite way. We don't want that, Kevin. I don't want that. That's worse. Right?
Yep.
Hey, speaking of which.
Just one real quick thing on impeachment. Well, two bullet points on impeachment. One is there was a vote yesterday on whether it's even constitutional. It went 55-45 in favor of proceeding with the impeachment trial. But that's telling me that there's no way they're going to get two-thirds to convict.
I think they should go to Scalia's grave and say, please, what was the, who was the magician? He used to try and connect with people, who was the world's greatest magician? He used to try and connect with people in the afterworld for the rest of the latter part of his life.
Oh, Houdini.
Yeah, Houdini. Just go there and collect with Scully in, because he was there mentally when they wrote it. Just ask him, is it, I don't see how you can read the Constitution and come up with an opinion on this one way or the other. But that's
what it's telling me.
Yeah.
Part two of that is, I did tweet about Brandenburg yesterday. They can't meet the legal standard. Not that they necessarily have to for a conviction in the Senate, but they don't. There's no legal justification for incitement here. Part three is, I think it's just really stupid.
Well, why don't
it's stupid because Trump was going out as a sore loser, and people don't like a sore loser.
No, and why don't they just?
They're sending him out as a martyr.
Just censure the guy. Say you didn't use your head, and just censure him. But here's what I, and I know.
The last one I'll say is if you can impeach somebody who has who is out of office, Hillary's impeachment is back on the table for as Secretary of State.
What about Tricky Dick? Vote on him too.
Oh yeah.
Hey.
Okay. What fun thing did you want to do?
Well, I don't know if it's fun, but it's coming along the same sort of thing. We'll probably talk more about this on Friday because I know Maddie wants to be involved. Nobody is in the Hall of Fame, and I was reading about how Schilling should never be in the Hall of Fame because of his political views. What do you? I could see where if you gambled or you broke the rules of baseball, how do your political views stop you from being in the Hall of Fame? How does anybody know who Babe Ruth like?
I don't know why. I think that's a bad precedent. Now, I suppose if he is, full-bore Nazi or an Illinois Nazi for that matter, because I hate Illinois Nazis,
yeah.
Don't you?
I
suppose that might be a disqualifier. But you can't have that political view and even survive in Major League Baseball. I think you'd be toxic at that point.
But this also, they're talking about guys that after they left baseball had issues with like Vizcaíno, was accused of abusing his wife. I don't see he was arrested on a domestic violence charge. Was he ever convicted?
I don't know. I don't know. I do. If I understand it, there is a some kind of morals or values aspect to this.
Ty Cobb's in there.
Pardon?
Ty Cobb's in there. Where's our morals?
No, that was before any of this.
All right. Okay.
So if you want to go strip them of it, go right ahead.
I don't. I'm just saying.
The point being that if there is something about character being part of it, that's one thing, but it's a political viewpoint, a character flaw, or better question, at what point does a political viewpoint become a character
flaw? Well, they got Todd Helton, who was guilty of drunken driving last year. They're saying he shouldn't be in either. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. So, where's your line?
Well, let's talk about it on Friday.
Established that there's a line. What? Where is it?
Well, let's hopefully you talk about it on Friday and not like some market crash. We're now around 50 in these moves. Actually 49.25 and NASDAQ futures down 115. This is getting ugly. We'll be right back, Mr. Jeff Joseph.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Low and up base, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. He's Mr. Mel Weber on the board. SP futures are down now 49.50. This is getting ugly. NASDAQ futures down 115. I'm not seeing Microsoft now as the only stock. Well, no, that and Walgreens are Microsoft's up 339. It was up $16 last night. Walgreens up 231. We still have GameStop was up 110. We came in. Now it's only up 81. So it's down $30. 3M up 64 cents. Every other stock in the Dow is down. Every stock that's open, the transportation average is down. So we're not, I don't know what they think the Fed's going to say today, but maybe something leaked. I don't know if it did or it didn't, but, right now we're not looking so hot. We've even got the bonds, going the other way. Bonds are going up, and I've got a position where they should be going down, but now maybe the Fed's going to turn around here a little bit. Jeff, how are you, bud?
I'm good, Chief. How are you?
All right. What do you make of all this, bud? We got which subject do you want to start on? We got the Fed today. Fed says they still can't get to 2% inflation. I don't know if it's Sol who doesn't think it's not 5 already. We got bizarro world.
GameStop.
Yeah, we got GameStop. We've got me going crazy on the step up rule for estates that people get to not pay taxes ever, and now Biden wants people to pay taxes the second you croak, which I think is a horrible idea. Is there enough going on here?
There's so much going on, right? I mean, it's such a busy week. I would like to hear your take on GameStop, only because I missed it. I haven't heard your overall opinion on it.
Well, you know, Maddie's edumacating me, as my grandmother used to say. Mm-hmm. This outfit, well, the group that's in this Reddit.
Wall Street Bets, yeah.
This seems to be targeting, places with a lot of short interest.
Sure.
But boy, oh boy, I mean, you don't want to be the last person to buy and have the thing come back the other way. I mean, buying a stock to stick it to another guy, I can't even think of that being a reason, can you?
Well, since January 11th, no one's been thinking that way.
Yeah.
But what's the adage about the last on board or the last out or, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, where's the cavalry? isn't it now about time for the cavalry, the Lone Ranger, and all of a sudden he's not there?
Yeah, but it's being used, the story, because obviously it has extraordinary interest, right? Because GameStop, you might as well be buying shares of Blockbuster,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's that element, yet it's being shown somehow as a victory for the retail investor. At least that's the spin I'm seeing. And you know, the cynic in me, and not to mention the 30, 40 years of market experience, just suggests otherwise, that this is just another example of an accident waiting to happen. Yes, there's people that are profiting from the ridiculous valuation of a company selling buggy whips, but it's not, it can't be a victory because it's not going to be long lived. I mean, something more comforting today was, you know, Microsoft's valuation is second only to Apple. All right, well, that makes sense to me, but not GameStop. So it's artificial. It's providing false bravado to these retail investors who perhaps should be doing something a little bit more, you know, fundamentally or value driven, or perhaps even long term driven. Even though I am a fan of options trading for short term trading, I just don't think it's a positive lesson. And case in point, you know, the old adage about when you're a cab driver. Well, I guess you got to throw that one out, right? It'd be at best when your Uber driver names a stock. But I'd say the same thing about when my 17-year-old son says he wants to buy a stock. That, to me, is not a good sign when my son's telling me he wants to buy GameStop for a reason that he certainly can't.
Well, I mean, because it's running up. Who's the guy who does the, how's his name? He did the Civil War was his first one.
Ken Burns.
Oh, yeah.
Ken Burns.
And baseball and, you're blanking. Yeah. Or I'm blanking.
Ken Burns.
Yeah, Ken Burns.
Ken Burns. Yeah, Ken Burns.
He did one, if you can, I mean, I don't know. Manny knows all these places. I'm guessing, is his stuff on Netflix? All of it?
I believe so, yeah, or most of it anyway.
Yeah.
But he did
Vietnam, I think I saw on Vietnam and Jazz are on Netflix.
He did one on the crash of 29. And I don't know how many nights it was. It wasn't like Civil War, which was weeks, you know, because obviously it's a huge topic. I'm going to say it was at least a few nights. And it was, and, you know, what he does is the thing that's fascinating about him. And, you know, people like him or don't like him, but he grabs letters from the time and reads people's letters back, you know, and, so you get a real sense of what people are thinking. And if you read the letters or what he does, you do realize that people never change. I mean, if you're just to get out of my third semester of Italian, I took Greek tragedy. You read Greek plays from how many thousand years ago? It's like you're reading something from today, right? Jealousy.
Oh,
ironic. I mean, people don't change, and they never have, and they probably never will, and it's probably a good thing. But he was talking about some guy wrote a letter to his dad. This is like 1928, and he goes, "Dad, you work every day, you basically bust your ass, and you make whatever dollar a day or something." He said, "People are making that in 10 minutes in the market. You've got some money in the bank. You owe it to yourself to just buy something because this is the easiest way to make money ever."
Sure.
And you know what? You could print that letter today for people that are piling in there. But the thing of it is as we speak, this is the part that really frosts me because the government is going to make out like a bandit on this thing, and it bothers the hell out of me. We came in, and the stock was up $107. It's now up $75. So it's down, what, $32 since we got here. So somebody somewhere, if he bought 1,000 shares, which is a lot of money, is down $32,000 while we're doing the show.
Yeah.
That's real money. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's not just, you know, we bought it at, you know, 50 and went up to 250 and now it's 220. What's the difference? You're down 30. And oh, by the way, some poor Mo bought it up there and now here's where he is. Now, why retail traders are trading before the market like this when this thing is so illiquid? I have no idea. I don't do that for my people, for God's sake. I mean, I mean, if I have an option position where somebody's long some calls or something and the stock is way up pre-market, I might sell the stock there, okay, to lock in the profit on the calls, but you're never going to get me to speculate with my people's money at 7 in the morning. I mean, the markets are nothing like they are after we open, right? And yet people think this is fun. I wouldn't want to be making a market there, but I sure as hell would want to be buying stuff for people either.
And well, that's the pre trading right now is up 69 to 217.
Yeah, it was up 120 when we came in.
Yeah, yeah.
But right. here's what's happening, and it all kind of piles together. And I want your opinion on this Elon Musk. This is now his way he spends time.
He fueled the rally a little bit when he tweeted something about GameStop being up $50. That that brought a lot more attention.
Well, he did it to Etsy yesterday. And I would almost, you know, let's put it this way. There are stocks and there's futures. I mean, obviously your S&P futures are pretty liquid. I think even in the middle of the night, although I've never traded them there. I would honestly, Jeff, I would not mind, as much as I don't like restricting people, I wouldn't mind a hard, you trade stock from 8:30 to 3, especially stocks that aren't the 50 most capitalized or most liquid. This GameStop has got no more business to trade in the middle of the night than I do being a jockey.
Yeah.
I mean, who the hell's making a market of this thing at 6 in the morning?
Well, it defines making a market, that's
yeah.
for sure. They are definitely making a market.
And why does this thing have to happen? I mean, it's crazy enough when the market's open. But at least then, when it makes a move, the New York, or not, the NASDAQ can stop it for a while. If something news comes out, they can stop trading for a half hour. There's none of that stuff going on now. I mean, why does this thing have to trade now? Just to screw people?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's a great story, though, on so many levels, because, you know, I can't agree with that completely, because I don't think restricting anything or restricting liquidity is ever a good thing, you know, but... Hey, I wanted to see Snowden released, so that gives you an idea of a bias. But so and you can also say that yes, we know this is going to end badly for a lot of GameStop investors who right now don't even conceive of the possibility of that. But our experience tells us better, and we know that this is going to end badly for a lot. But all with considering all that, you still have a positive thing occurring, and that is the result of this story and Elon Musk and the likes of Robinhood, which is easy to diss because it's a lot of younger investors without history that are doing things based on gut instinct and confetti that splashes when you effectively make a trade on the app. So maybe for a lot of wrong reasons, something good is happening, and that is that a new generation of investors are learning about the markets. They could be good lessons, they could be bad lessons, but they're learning about the markets.
Well,
I think that's a real upside, and I don't think limiting the consequences or the outcome or playing big brother or nanny to try to protect what happens. Hey, you know, you're a big boy, you're playing in a big game, and you're going to have to deal with the big results.
I think that you have a responsibility, and I'm, for God's sake, I was 20 years on the trading floor. I believe in that as well.
You should have a big free market shirt.
But I always thought I was in the OEXO, and I always thought that having a structure to it, a place where people can actually put orders in, where they could have standing orders, where there was some depth and liquidity of the place, made for a decent market. Having one person put in a market order at 2 in the morning and just wherever it lands, especially if the person doing it has no concept. I mean, I don't think there's a chance in hell, Jeff, that you will put a market order in at 3 in the morning in GameStop. You might put a limit order in if you've got options and now you're essentially buying or selling to cover. You could do that. You're not going to... But you're having people, by definition, the people that are putting those market orders in, like the open, they're out of their friggin' mind, Jeff. I mean, they obviously have no business playing in that ballpark.
That's what makes a market.
I guess. You know what I'm saying is, the idea is to have securities markets that are, I mean, why did we, in 1933, decide that, there has to be, you know, audited balance sheets and those kinds of things, or audited income statements for big companies. When before, the banks were perfectly happy to call you up and tell you to buy some stock when they knew the numbers and wouldn't give them to you. Well, hell, that's not fair. I guess it's entrepreneurial, but it's not fair. Yeah. Right? So, I mean, I'm one for very few rules, but you have to have some rules. I mean, you have to know, I mean, is there really a market in this thing? And I don't know that there is. I mean, I like the idea of the options floor where there were posted bids and offers. So you knew what you were getting into. I hated the Board of Trade because the Board of Trade thought the bids and offers were just a quick schooling here. When the option market came out, it pretty much mirrored the stock market, where if IBM, you could look on the page and say it was
It was 160 and an eighth bid at 160 and three eighths, or 160 and a quarter. So if you put in an order, unless you were just slow, you could buy it at three eighths and start selling it at an eighth, right? Well, the Board of Trade felt that the bids and offers on the futures side, all they would give you was the last price. So if you called down there, you could get the bid and offer, but you could only call down if you were a member. So if you were a retail customer, now they didn't have as many retail customers, but if they did, a lot of people traded corn and soybeans, you could call down and they'd say, what's the market? Corn's, you know, 280 bid at 280 and a quarter. All right, buy me 5,000 bushels.
Sure, but they'll recognize the shortcomings of that system, you know, the absence of transparency and liquidity and access. You know, the 33 Act, which you referenced, that was necessary following 1929 because of the example you cited. It was a disclosure. The 33 Security Act focused on financial disclosure, but what we're talking about now is access, liquidity, transparency. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for more access as a more efficient market. If there were more people trading at 3 in the morning, maybe we wouldn't have this madness.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, the S&Ps are sort of liquid enough. But here's what I make I honestly believe, Jeff, because I was there for 20 years. And the OEX, I thought that was the best market. Now, the S&Ps or the minis probably are just as good or better. Over a period of that I was in there, and I used, you know, I was on the board, so I knew all the stats. 65% of the trades were customer to customer, which to me is a massive definition of a fair and orderly market. What percentage at night do you think is customer to customer?
Probably nothing.
Probably,
right?
Nothing. I mean, yeah.
Literally nothing. Yes.
So, I mean, and I don't, yeah. Just because people are willing to trade it, I mean, there's people willing to do a lot of things. I mean, right? Sure. Anyway, so, but it's.
Yeah, but you got this app that it works 24/7, and, you know, you just got off of TikTok, and, you know, you were.
But, you know, when you mentioned 29.
The moonwalk, and then you bought a couple shares of GameStop. I mean, it all kind of works.
But the 29 crash basically torpedoed a whole generation of investors, right?
Yeah.
I mean, my talk about, well, I guess I can say it. My uncle used to say, I'd say, Uncle, do you ever trade in the stock market? Nah.
Matt, what do you think? Before he says it, can he say this one? You know, what do you think? What's the over-under on how appropriate
it's not horrible. He'd say, nah, I had northern tissue in the crash, got wiped out.
Well, that's not bad.
That's not bad, but you know,
pretty good actually. Yeah.
So I mean, he basically said after 29, I never even looked at the market again. Mm-hmm. You know, this is 40 years later. So I mean, there's people that never traded after the 87 crash. I mean, you don't want that stuff to happen because.
Well, but it happens, and you know, I mean, the book, The Madness of the Crowds, you know, about the tulip craze and back in Holland. That's a real thing. Not to mention a fantastic book, right? So this has happened forever, you know, forever and ever.
Yep.
It's just funny, I think, the vehicles that are chosen. So GameStop, right?
Yeah.
I mean, GameStop. What could be a more archaic business model than the retail brick-and-mortar delivery of, you know, of games? I mean, it literally is like buying Blockbuster.
Well, yesterday was video. Etsy. Yesterday was Etsy. Aren't they the same as eBay? We went through that.
Yeah.
But here's my one thing I think I'll mention a little bit why I'm a little bit more on the other side of this than you, Jeff, is that the government, our government, I was going to say yours, but I'll say our government, is not made it even. The guy who made the 30 grand this morning on the GameStop trade we were talking about, and there's a guy who lost 30 grand. The guy who made the 30 grand is going to pay taxes, and the other guy won't be able to write his off. That's a problem. And usually, I don't know about this time, market tops also are usually, that's a slippery word, are also tops in margin interest. Right? I mean, in margin loans. So on the way down, people lose on borrowed money. So it's a
good point.
I mean, to me, if a stock goes from 50 to 250 and back to 50, it doesn't all add up to one. Right?
when you take in the taxes and the loans. So I honestly believe that more people lose more money on the way down than they make on the way up. We're all taken. That's why I don't like to see it happen. If it ended up being 1-to-1, Jeff, I'd be on your side. But so what, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I can't disagree. It's not a zero sum game on the way down. That's absolutely that's an accurate assessment.
And yeah, you cannot get the federal government to raise that $3,000 number, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been there since since I got into business when the Dow was 800. You think it should have gone up a little bit?
That's right.
Where do you come down on, I don't know if you were listening earlier, where do you come down on this Section 230 thing? That's going to be a big debate or somewhere along the line.
Well, you know, that's a tough one. I was not listening, so I'd be curious what side you were at. But it's, the large tech platforms are having it best both ways. You know, either if you're moderating content, then you are exercising discretion as a publisher. That's discretion right there, and that discretion implies you're a publisher. I think the definitions have been really misused by the tech platforms. If you choose to moderate content, you are applying discretion. Discretion is an act of publishing, and if you're a publisher, then you're no longer exempt because you need to be responsible for what you post. So Section 230 essentially says if you're a platform and only if it's platform versus publisher. So Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, it refers to, what is it, the 36 words that changed the internet, and it basically speaks to the difference between being a platform or a publisher, and that if you're a platform and you're not using discretion what's posted, and you're curating content, or you're just simply posting or allowing access to third parties to post content, that content need not be moderated because you don't have a liability for what's being posted there. However, if you're a publisher and you're making active editorial decisions about what you put up, what you're posting, which is what we do, for example, Luckbox Magazine, I'm a publisher, that we don't have the protection of Section 230 under the Communications Decency Act. The problem is once Twitter starts banning this or that, and you know, listen, what they did, every journalist, if it wasn't for a partisan ideology, every journalist should be so concerned about the state of free speech now in the country. What they did, what Facebook did, what Twitter did, what they did with the New York Post story, which of course turned out to be true, taking it off before an election. New York Post, the oldest newspaper in the country. Yeah, it's not the best paper in the country, but it's certainly the oldest. That's a bona fide publishing platform. All this censorship that has occurred, dropping Trump off, those are acts of publishers, not platforms, and they should not have the protection of Section 230 under the Communications Decency Act. If it goes to the Supreme Court, it should be as clear as possible.
Which way?
Yeah, this is an issue. This is so unacceptable for speech to be being restricted on platforms in this manner. It's just really.
Well, I guess my
thank God for voices like Glenn Greenwald and Matt Peavy of Rolling Stone, and Glenn Greenwald, formerly of Intercept, who, of course, you know, came to his fame by his Snowden coverage. Thank God for those two journalists. If you want to really get a fair, non-biased, non-political assessment of what is happening to free speech in America right now, those are the two guys to read.
Well,
had Taibbi on the show many times.
Why don't we have him on again?
You've had Taibbi on the show?
Why are you shocked?
Well, because I have so much regard for him. He is absolutely the one guy because, first of all, Let's call him what he is. He is a hardcore left-leaning political partisan. Fine, everybody has their stripe, but he calls balls and strikes. He does not let his political leaning. Remember, he's the guy who wrote Insane Clown President, right?
Which was
a great book, by the way.
He's a tremendous
But he also wrote Hate Incorporated. And he does not let his political leanings interfere what he sees as being right or wrong. So he's one of the few guys, and there's not many people like that. He's one of the few journalists that I have an extraordinary regard for.
We have a few like that on the show.
I'd love to be on the show with him anytime he's on.
We have a few like that on the show. They try and actually make a decision before they see which side it is and the other. I count you as one of them. By the way, the last time he came on, he said, here you got Jeff Joseph on your show.
Who are you talking about?
Matt Tiabby.
Say again, I'm sorry.
We invited him on, and he said, hey, here you got Jeff Joseph on that show. Sure, I'll come on. But no, I bet he'd come on, I would love to have you on with him. Here's where I come from on this, Jeff, and it's, again, it's my crazy economic background. Whenever you pass a law that is A, inconsistent, or something, you end up someday where you don't want to be. And we were just kind of debating this with Kevin, and obviously I like to take the other side to get all ideas out, which isn't necessarily, but I'll go back. We're a radio show, right? We only got a couple minutes here, but we have a dump button. And if somebody comes on and says something, and Maddie is over getting a cup of coffee and doesn't hit the dump button, we're at fault. Now, the idea that Facebook and Twitter are absolved from all that just because they're big, I don't buy that. I mean, I'm not so sure the law is right when it comes to us, but I don't see why they would be any different. Luckbox is not required. If I were to send in a letter to the editor that says, here's four rabble rousers in the teachers union. Here's their houses. Here's a Molotov cocktail. Go get them. I mean, you could.
But Chief, it's not. This is not an apples to apples comparison. You're not being fair here. The FCC has, I believe, that they have specific guidelines of speech that you'd have to hit that button on, right?
Right.
I think George Carlin made him once famous, right?
Yeah.
His, what was it, the seven dirty words, whatever. Yep. There are specific guidelines. It was down to what words you could use. It wasn't about what thoughts you could use.
If somebody were to incite somebody...
That's what's happening here.
If somebody were to... Well, okay, but what I'm saying is when they gave these guys this blanket, they gave them this 230 without having any idea where this thing might go. Now, because it's so big, I mean, like what Kevin was saying, most people will tell you, I'm not saying you are because you're coming from a different angle, most people would say, how could somebody possibly police all the Twitter stuff? Well, okay, if I have 50 call-ins a day, I don't get to say I don't have enough personnel to police all 50 of them.
Well, it's not a question of how, it's what. I mean, police what?
Well, that's exactly right.
Where are you drawing the line? How is it not subjective? And how is not all of this so Orwellian? You know, I mean, some pigs are more...
First of all, you know I agree with you. But I'm saying the fact that they didn't think this through in the beginning has got them where they are, is all I'm saying. I mean, right?
Sure, by doing this carve out.
Yeah, by doing this carve out. Now.
Yeah, if FCC guidelines, which were much more specific, right? There are words you cannot say, but once you expand this into thoughts,
I'm with you. Well, let's talk about it after break. Because by the way, I'm not going to agree with you on the air, but I agree with you. How's that?
There we go.
S&P futures down 39. NASDAQ futures down 99. Be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Mel Weber on the board. And Mr. Jeff Joseph with us as well. SP Futures down 43. NASDAQ Futures down 115. Dow Futures down 269. I got pretty much a sea of red on my machine here. We got 3M in earnings up 175, Microsoft in earnings up 386. They were up $16 last night. So they've given most of that up. And we've got Walgreens up 210. Other than that, everything in the Dow is red. The only thing that's green in the transportation average is Norfolk and Southern is up 11. They had earnings as well. Everything else is red there. Around the rest of the world, not so good either. Over in Europe, we got the DAX down 219, 1.6%. Now, they've been real strong, so that's very of a minor giveaway there. FTSE down 77 points, that's 1.2%. CAC around down 73, 1.3%. Over in Asia, a lot of what happened here is before they closed. So actually, the Nikkei up 89.3%, Shanghai up 3%, call that flat. Hang Seng down 93.3%, so not much going on there. Bonds down 2 basis points to 1.01, so far way down from the 1.11 a week ago. These bonds are going the other way. Bunds minus 0.54, Japan stuck on 0.038, where they've been now for days and months, it seems. Oil up 2 cents, call that flat. Brent up 4 cents, call that flat. Whole number 55.95 on the Brent. Natural gas up 5 cents, 271. RBOB unchanged at 157. Got gold down $9, 1841. Silver down 34 cents. Silver's had 1 and 2% moves within a range like something I've never seen. It never breaks out. It just, we're down near the low end here. I don't know. Maybe it's a buy. Maybe it's not. Copper down 3 cents, 358. Platinum down $26 at 1081. Fed news conference today, so that'll be interesting. They're seeing these inflation numbers explode. The question is, are they going to say anything about any kind of tapering here? Because they're still buying assets, again, for whatever reason. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still looking good on the area expressways. After a busy morning yesterday, it's not too bad out there. It looks like all the main arteries in and out of the city have been cleared following the snowstorm. So no major delays on any of the area expressways. No accidents to report either. Only crash in the area is off the expressways. That's out in the western suburbs. County Farm Road at Stearns, there is a crash. But everything else all quiet out there. I should mention that we do have some more lake effect snow coming around midday today that's going to affect central and southern Cook County. Could be anywhere from an inch to up to 4 inches, it's saying, with brief periods of heavy winds as well. So keep that in mind. We're not quite out of the woods yet, but we'll have a cold day, cloudy as well, a high of just 28, and that's where we're at right now. So it'll be even colder tonight as we'll get into the single digits overnight. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 61 today. Right now it's clear and 37. In sports, the Blackhawks lost in overtime to Nashville 3-2. Coyotes lost to the Ducks 1-0. Bulls were off last night. Their game against Memphis tonight is postponed due to a COVID outbreak on the Memphis roster. Bulls will be without Wendell Carter Jr., their starting big man, for at least the next month as he's dealing with a thigh issue. Chief.
Yeah, Jeff, can I shift gears for just a little bit here, not on the content. I want to stay on that subject, but... What I sense some lack of, shall I say, I don't know, maybe because you and I are getting up there a little bit. There's a lack of common sense kind of running through all this stuff that to me is like, it's almost like a separate track than the censorship and all the other stuff. And it, I mean, when you, if you played hardball and you threw at the other guy's star, the star on your team is going to say, hey, wait a minute. If you can't get the guy out without throwing at their guy, I don't want him throwing him throwing at me. I mean, there's a certain pushback that you would expect if you've ever been on a playground. If I sack the other guys, my mother used to say, somebody hit you, you hit them back. I mean, right? I'm not so sure that's politically correct today, but...
I recall that exact response from a parent,
But you don't hit him 10 times, you hit him once, you know. But, I mean, this whole concept of... overplaying your hand, to use a poker term. I mean, Obama came in, and I'm sure other people did the same way, but he's the one I remember that said, you know, elections have consequences. And he jammed through a very unpopular health care package with no help from the other side. And I think anybody from years ago, the Paul Simons of the world, the Everett Dirkes, would say, when you're talking about something that big, be it Social Security, be it something of that magnitude, you better find at least a few people on the other side that say this is a good idea. Because if it's not at least somewhat bipartisan, you got a loser. In a sense, you're going to be fighting for it forever. But he didn't care. He said, elections have consequences, so basically screw you. Now, I didn't mind Obama. I don't dislike the man. I think he tried to do a pretty good job. Well, now, fast forward into Trump. You know, and he made absolutely no bones about the places who didn't vote for me. Screw them. I'm not sending them vaccines. I'm not sending them tax dollars. They don't like me. Why should I support them? Okay. He took it to yet another new level. And now all of a sudden the Democrats with a sliver of an advantage in the House. Not even a sliver of an advantage in the Senate, really, are now doing the same thing, trying to piss everybody off on the other side. But don't they realize that we're heading to the bottom of the toilet here with this?
Now you're referring to the executive actions for the most part.
No, I'm just saying we're in terms of now we're gonna make it real. Anybody who voted for Trump, we're gonna find them and say there's something wrong with them, like you were alluding to. We're gonna censor what they say. They must know that this changes every 2 years. Just even if you feel that way, even if you think you'd like your pitcher to throw at the other star, you must know that there's going to be repercussions. But we can't govern that way. I mean, we can't govern with a Congress that does nothing, and every president has up 200 executive orders, and the first thing the next guy does is come in and reverse all of them the next day. That to me is no way to... Some of this stuff, like the DACA stuff, that should be gone back to Congress. It should get fixed in Congress, and everybody should say, this is what we're doing going forward. It shouldn't change 4 years from now if the Democrats lose. Am I right or wrong? This is insane what we're doing.
Well, certainly, but you know, those actions beget other actions.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How do they
get
that?
I'm not going to say who the initial source is, because just the nature of the politics. So you can't point to Obama as being the first example of that, or Bush or anyone else for that matter. But now you can expect these wave of executive actions that occur that, you know, that are important topics too. They're big topics. Some, or small topics that are thrust into the spotlight to become big. It's amazing. I think one of the most interesting executive actions here, a lot of them were just reversing some of Trump's executive actions.
Right.
So I get that. That's politics. But how did some small voices become amplified to be so much more important than the greater good? And I guess what I'm referring to is the transgender, you know, the ability to allow transgender athletes to compete in their chosen category as opposed to their sex birth category. It's just an amazing thing because the vast majority of polling that I've seen, and we look at polling all the time at Lookbox magazine, it's something that even helps us create our editorial selection and our stories, is that people are against this. You know, females, the overwhelming amount of females are against this. You know, Title IX was basically created to you know, right some of the injustices that females, you know, to level the playing field for females, in particularly in college and in college sports. And then you see this occurring, which is just, it's mind-boggling to think that, because we know what's going to happen now. Transgender athletes are going to dominate female sports. You're going to hear more and more stories. You're going to see more and more outrage. Athletes are against this. Women are against this. Who's for this? I saw a statistic that said 17% of Americans are in favor of this. So how is this an executive action and why? And what it speaks to is the power of activism, you know, and the voice that they have, particularly with this administration right now.
Well, this is I think this has taken over.
Amazing.
This whole thing
amazing
is,
signal.
You look at a party, you know, and this is. I mean, I think when you tell the truth, you can sort of tell the truth. The Democratic Party used to be the party of the guys swinging the hammers that were the unions, right? And women. It was your union workers, it was your welders, it was your policemen, it was those people, your Democratic Party, right? And now, by any stretch, if we have a couple of ladies that were in college that used to help us out with the and have graduated and gone onward, they were Maddie's understudies as producers. They will tell you at DePaul that the Democratic Party is the party of the gays, the women, and transgender and all that stuff, and that no guy who ever goes to the health club would ever be a Democrat. The thought, it is totally changed. I mean, you look at the city of Chicago. I have not seen a male hiree by this administration, have you? I mean, there has to be some. I mean, I'm saying it.
Right.
But, I mean, virtually everybody you see is female, and most of them are black, which I don't have. I mean, that's fine. I mean, as long as everybody's qualified, I could care less. But, I mean, it seems to me that that's becoming that's every bit as bad as having to be old and white, I mean, and be a guy, right? One is not better than the other. Martin Luther King never said that that's the way we want to go at this. We want to go to where we're colorblind, but we're clearly not there. We're going the other way, right?
Well, Susan Rice made that apparent yesterday when she announced that all federal offices and all federal branches will be focused on equity. And key word equity, not equality. Equity is a new word.
Yep.
Equity is a redistributive justice as opposed to, you know, we know what equality means and we've all been taught to, you know, respect equality as being an ambition. Equity is not about equality. So that's really dangerous words. I think what's happening in Illinois is probably the single most dangerous thing right now. This, what's it called? The Culturally Responsive Teaching and Learning Students Act. The acronym is CRTL, which is a little ominous, you know, this control. And this is this kind of woke progressive curriculum, outline that's being proposed in Illinois. It comes up to vote. It's not even a vote. It comes before the Joint Committee on, on rules February 16th, and basically it says that it'll become mandatory K through 12 in the state of Illinois, mandatory that curriculum teaches counterculturalism, that students should be trained to become progressive activists, and they should be engaged in not civic projects but social justice projects. It requires a rethinking on behalf of the faculty about looking for opportunities to point out you know, unearned privilege and Eurocentrism, and it is basically a woke doctrine that's being thrust upon the schools, K through 12, mandated at the state level. And somewhat quietly, this has a reasonable chance of becoming law in Illinois as of February 16th. It's getting very, very little exposure, and it's just and if anyone knows, and people do know, if you have students, and particularly now, if you're listening in on your students, particularly high school students, on their classes on Zoom, you for the first time have some transparency as to what's going on in your schools. And an amazing thing is that, you know, I've listened to my son's AP history class now for 4 or 5 months. I haven't heard a day go by, not a single day, that racism wasn't the subject of AP history. No dates, no major milestones. Everything was through the lens of racism. And it's just amazing to me how distorted the perception. And listen, my son's in a community where the overwhelming majority of the students are minorities, and that's by choice, and that's why he's there, to have access to diversity. We have other options for him, and we're in a position to execute on those options, but we chose that option for that diversity. But we'd expect a little bit of, you know, a little bit of education thrown in.
You are one of several, and a lot of them they have a different political leaning than you, but
Well, you don't know my political leaning.
Well, I can tell a little bit. You're in the middle, and you judge things as you see them.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, well, that am I right or not?
Yeah.
No,
so you're right.
But I'm saying some of my South Side friends.
I'm generally to the left of Marx on social issues.
You and I are actually very similar.
A hardcore fiscal conservative.
You and I are pretty close on that stuff. Which my number will say, because I'm supposed to argue with you. It's radio, right? But some of Audrey's, some of her family and friends are, so we say, a little more right. And we have dinner over there, and they all got kids, right? They're a little younger than you, so the kids are a little younger. But by helping the kids at home, even the kids in grammar school, it is a massive wake-up call. They are appalled at the curriculum.
It's appalling. I will say it's appalling.
Yeah. But you know,
keep in mind, in 2019, in the state of Illinois, 37% of third graders could demonstrate grade-level proficiency in reading, and 41% in math.
Well,
the reality of where we are. Yet look at what's going on with the curriculum.
Right. And lab out there that it's a very effective way of dealing with your, quote, Ute. Did you say Ute? You can do this. Name me the two organizations that were spectacular in indoctrinating, one of them still exists, and by the way, is very quickly growing, that do not trust the parents in just regular history, that they have to indoctrinate the kids in a huge extent.
Well, 1619 Project would be one of them.
I'm saying one was the Nazis.
Oh, well, the Nazi youth camps, yeah.
And the other is the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
They don't assume that the family is going to indoctrinate kids into be. They've got weekends away when they're 10 years old or 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go away for a week in the summer, and they take over. I mean, Catholics never did that. That's why a lot of people that were raised Catholic aren't Catholic anymore, because they assume the parents would do a good job, and they didn't. I mean, right? I mean, but I'm saying now the state has taken this over. But I will say, I have read an awful lot about the South and the slavery situation and how horrible it was. But I also know that the one of the reasons why the people were so good at enslaving black people is because they had enslaved white people for centuries. Right? It's not like there's never been a white slave, right? I mean, in the 1800s, you didn't want to be a slave. You didn't want to be working on the I&M Canal. Your day-to-day life, an awful lot of people, was horrendous. And you were controlled by other people. Not as bad as being, quote, owned. But I'm not so sure a coal miner in West Virginia had any much of a different day. I would have... The people who died coming this way, especially the Chinese, because nobody cared about them, how many people died building the railroad? Hey, there was an avalanche. We lost 30 guys. Well, maybe we'll find the bodies this spring. Maybe we won't. I mean, it was a horrible time to be alive. And so I'm just saying, teach the whole thing. Don't just teach one piece of it. Yes, the slavery piece was horrendous and probably the worst. I'm going to say maybe, I'm surely the worst. Yes. Yet, yes. It wasn't like the rest of the people were sitting home eating bonbons, right? It was a horrible time to be alive for everybody, unless you were Rockefeller, and even those people. You look at the sickness and how many people died young and everything, even in the rich families. You didn't want to live in 1840, would you? Did you? Or 1860? I didn't. I mean, you're much better off. Do you think any of us would be alive now, health-wise or anything? There's still people who had terrific genes and so forth, but... I mean, you didn't want to live then.
Well, it's something that's going to, and if there's listeners that are concerned about it, it's CRTL, the Culturally Responsive Teaching and Learning Students Act or something. That's what it's referred to as. And this is February 16th, and statewide, a statewide mandate. It's pretty amazing, particularly... And if you aren't taking advantage of your students' Zoom classes at home, try listening to an AP government class and hear anything about government. Pretty amazing.
Just for my education.
It's all activism platforms and very little about history. So the old adage of those who about learning history and being, and condemned to repeat it. If you don't learn the history, you don't really have that opportunity to benefit from the lessons of the past. And I just don't see it being taught right now.
Well,
it's not enough that this generation of students being robbed from STEM, and they're being robbed, just because you can't really learn STEM via Zoom. It really requires engagement and interactivity. But English and history, those are subjects that, are a little bit more Zoom friendly right now. Unfortunately, CPS, they don't care. They're not coming to teach any kids anything. They're going to sit this one out until they...
This is just the perfect opportunity if we had a decent mayor to actually spank that union, and she won't do it.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, I got a quick question. Just in terms of, I don't want to go down this road too much, but the part that I, years ago, the part about the transgender and so forth, is they were threatening to make everybody put essentially a third bathroom in the place, which would have been an amazing amount of money for a lot of people, even if you could do it in your building. But are we really talking about, a young Maddie Weber getting booted off the boys' basketball team and walking in the next day in the girls' locker room and saying, "I'm here"? I mean, what does he have to?
Well, I think
does he have to have surgery?
But
I mean,
that's what I've heard.
But I mean, does he have to have surgery? I mean, I don't want to go there, but I mean, what has to happen to just say, I don't get it? How does the Notre Dame girls team?
That's actually a really good question. I don't think the. I don't know. I don't believe that statute. Speaks to people identifying as a gender as opposed to, having some, I don't know. It's a very good question.
I mean, there's obviously a follow through to this. What's the follow through? You can't just lob that one out there and say, okay, there needs to be a third bathroom. Okay, well, who's going to pay for it, right? I mean, there's always stuff that comes after. There's detail to be filled in, right?
That's right.
All right, what do you think of the market here? Are we seeing a turn, or what's brought on here today? All of a sudden, we're up sort of in.
I don't know. Well, let me ask you a question about the inflation numbers. Where was the most material uptick? And obviously, I know and agree completely. You've educated me and made me much more aware of what's wrong with our current, you know, inflation measurement and barometers. But in terms of what is measured, where was the uptick?
I think it was in they had some in fuel oils, they had some in food, I think they had some in rent. You mean the 0.4% last month?
In rent? Huh, that's interesting.
Well, rent has gone up dramatically.
Sure. Yeah, well, I guess it has. Has it?
Yeah.
Has rent gone up over the last quarter?
Well, that's therein lies the rub. You can't ever, I mean, I'm not capable of arguing with the 9 zillion people that work there and say, yeah. The price of bread really went up 2 cents instead of one. I mean, those guys have that. But I could sit there and say, hey, wait a minute, here was 5 years ago, and here's where we are now. You guys have been wrong for 5 years. That's all I'm saying. There's no way I can debate this month's gasoline from last month. I mean, well, let's talk about that next week, because you know what? I'll get the CPI thing open, and we'll go down the list.
That's it.
SP futures down 40, NASDAQ futures down 98. We've got GameStop is now up 81. It was up 120 earlier. So it's down some, but it's still way the hell up. We'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.